absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig interkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 48 of Absolutely Intercultural. My name's Anne Fox. Happy New Year to all of you, even if you do follow the Chinese calendar. Well, Laurent really put me on the spot in the last show, didn't he?
Oh, no, he did!
Oh, yes, he did. Making me reveal my New Year's resolutions like that.
Oh, no, he did!
Well, I'm afraid to report that I haven't made any progress yet on teaching my daughter French. Too busy making podcasts, that's why. Well, there's quite a bit of audience participation today, which is exactly what we're looking for, but we'd been thinking more in terms of a comment on the blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com or a mail to contact@absolutely-intercultural.com. So, what have we got for you this time? Do you know where Salford is? No? Well, Christina Costa from Portugal didn't know either until she ended up living there just over a year ago.
But I had never actually been to Manchester or either to Salford, you know, especially Salford. I had never heard about that before.
And you'll find that she was helped to settle in her new job from a most unexpected source. Unfortunately for Christina, I talked to her the day that I had a cold and the day that I had just received my registration papers to vote in British national elections. So I couldn't resist asking her whether she still had the vote and if so, whether she'd be interested in using it.
Since I'm not in the country, I don't think I have to, you know, I don't know exactly the situation. I only know what people tell me and I don't live it. So I don't think I have a right to vote from one side or the other.
While Laurent was busy telling you all about my New Year resolutions, I was in Britain with my family because I suddenly realised that there was a cultural tradition specific to Britain which our children were missing out on. Finally, we'll be looking at a very special film festival, and there's an absolutely last chance to win a CD by Revis. First, we'll talk to Christina Costa from Portugal, who made a momentous decision to leave her native Portugal and go and work in Britain. What was she going to do, and why, and how did she settle in?
My name is Christina Costa. I was born in Portugal, and I am now working in the UK, in Manchester, at the University of Salford, as a learning technologies development officer.
So you've moved from Portugal to Salford quite recently. Is this a temporary move or is this for life?
Well, it started to be as a temporary move. I came on a 2-year contract, and but now I really like it, so I hope to stay.
Was it the job or the country which attracted you? Which did you look at first?
Well, at the beginning it was more of the job because I was looking for a job and this was kind of the ideal job for me because it was related with my studies, with my interests, and it was something that I didn't have an opportunity to do in Portugal. So it was mostly on the job description that made me come in the first place. But now it's like both. I really like the country, I really like the people, and I really like what I do and the team that I work with. So it's like, you know, it's the best thing that ever happened.
Well, that's great. But can I ask you, if the job had been advertised, for example, in Greece or Latvia or Canada, would you have applied?
Oh, good question. I don't know because actually that's, you know, I have never thought about that. I only looked at jobs being advertised in the UK because English was an easier language for me. If it was in Greece, I think I had a hard time. And Canada was really far away. So, well, you know, if it was a good chance, I might have risked it, but the UK was really nice, close to home, you know, these days it is closed. Mm. So, yeah, I'm not sure. But I might have, you know.
Yeah.
It's not the first time that I move, that I live in a different country. So I kind of like the experience.
How much did you know about the UK or indeed about Salford before you arrived?
Well, about UK, one of my foundation degrees was languages and cultures, and one of them was English. So about history and a little bit about the country, I already knew something about the country, and I had visits London, like every tourist visits London when they think about the UK, that's the port that they go to. But I had never actually been to Manchester or either to Salford, you know, especially Salford. I had never heard about that before. So it was a nice surprise, but I like it.
Now you've changed job. I mean, you were mainly teaching before, and now you're doing something slightly different, or well, very different. Have you found it easy to fit into your new working life?
It wasn't difficult, because I think coming from the web head background and having for already, I think, 2 years before I came here, engaging with the community and helping and learning with other teachers, it kind of helped me a lot when I kind of changed jobs and started helping staff with their learning strategies. It's just, you know, it's quite similar, although it's face-to-face, and sometimes it's people that really aren't eager or even willing to kind of engage with this kind of technologies at the beginning. So in that sense, wasn't that difficult. But no, I don't think it was difficult. I think it was challenging.
So for you, the change of role has been more significant than the change of country.
Yeah, so it was a big change in role. I came from the teaching background to the support background. Where the country is concerned, the biggest change might have been some aspects that you miss, like the food. And then changing country, the first months were quite hard because I didn't know anyone here. I came on my own. There's no Portuguese community here. And so it was quite hard to find friends at the beginning. But now things start kind of develop, and I already have some friends. I already have a place to live. And so I think it takes time. And when we arrive to a new place, we want everything to be like before, and it's just not like that. So it really takes time, and sometimes you can get really anxious about it. But after a while, if you look back, it's like, you know, it wasn't that bad.
So the international community, the international online community that you were involved with before helped you to fit in with your working life.
Yes.
But you still obviously had to make adjustments to fit in with the sort of the rest of ordinary everyday life.
Well, you always have to. Things work differently. But also having dealt with the international community before I came also gave me a vision of flexibility and made it easier for me to adjust. Because you get so many perspectives from other people and so many reports from their own experiences that you come and say, oh, so that's what she meant or what he said. And all of a sudden, you kind of try to adjust also based on the experience that other people have mentioned.
What about the work culture in Britain compared to Portugal? Is that more or less the same?
What I like about here, about UK, is when people tell you things, it's going to happen, and it's like that. And sometimes, for instance, where I worked before, the rules of the game would change in the middle of it. And so here, and also I was given more freedom to do what I had to do. People, I assume that people trust you more. And but that might have to do with the environment. It was a military environment, so they tend to be more controllative than they are here.
We'll be returning to Christina in a moment when we discuss something quite different. Now I'm going to go absolutely cultural and tell you what I did in my holidays. For once, we went to Britain, which we don't normally do, And the reason for that was that back in October, I suddenly realised that my children might miss out on a traditional British event, which only occurs around Christmas time. And that is a traditional British pantomime. What is a pantomime? I'll start with what it's not, and that is that it's not a mime. But in the US, what I understand by the word mime, the silent acting out of a story, is called a pantomime. Confused? You will be. So what is a British pantomime? It's a theatrical performance of a loosely adapted fairy story, which follows many conventions. Some of the conventions are obvious, such as that the leading man is played by a woman, and that the old washerwoman is played by a man.
Oh, no, read it.
There is a lot of audience participation.
Behind you.
And at some point, the actors will throw sweets to the audience. But as I investigated a bit further, I found a few more conventions which I had never been aware of before, such as that the good fairy always enters from the left and the wicked witch from the right. So, was it all worthwhile?
I thought it was quite funny.
You thought it was quite funny?
Yeah, it was a bit strange.
What was strange?
Just the people, the whole thing. It was not normal.
Not normal?
No, I don't know. It was exactly the opposite of what you'd expect. In a theatre, you'd expect something rather serious. And it was sort of a bit all over the place. I don't know what I'd expected.
You didn't know what to expect because you never seen or heard of a pantomime before, had you?
No. But I thought it would be a bit more serious.
And so, overall, do you think you'd like to see another pantomime or not?
I would.
You would?
Yeah.
So now you know what all the sound effects were about. The day I talked with Christina about moving to Salford was also the day I received my registration papers to vote in British national elections. So I was curious to know if Christina could exercise her right to vote. Let's go absolutely political and find out.
Do you still have the right to vote in Portuguese elections now that you're in Britain?
I think I have. I'm not very political active, I must say, but I do think I have because I hold Portuguese citizenship and I could vote through the consulate.
Would you want to do that?
No, because since I'm not in the country, I don't think I have to, you know, I don't know exactly the situation. I only know what people tell me, and I don't live it, so I don't think I have a right to vote from one side or the other.
This concerns me because I'm British and I'm living in Denmark, and if you're British, you can vote for 15 years, and then you lose the vote, and I'm just about to lose the vote in Britain. And this means that I don't have a vote anywhere, and I just wondered whether that mattered. If you have all these people who are moving around Europe and they lose the vote, the rules are different in different countries. For example, if you're French, you don't lose your vote at all. I know Americans have the vote for life wherever they are, but in Britain you lose it after 15 years. In Denmark, you're not allowed to vote as soon as you set foot off Danish soil. So there are differences all over Europe, and it just concerns me because, you know, we're being encouraged to cross borders in Europe, and yet we're losing the vote. We don't have the right to vote anywhere. Or it as I say, it depends. And I just wondered what the situation was in Portugal.
Oh, that's quite an interesting issue. Because I know, because I used to work in the consulate when I was in Germany. I worked for the Portuguese consulate during the vacation period. And the Portuguese could go there to vote, so I would assume that being in Britain, I could do the same. I also have, you know, I'm not very, like I said, maybe I should, but I'm not very political active because I was always, when the big elections happen, I'm always off the country, so it makes it difficult. And I think that since we're, you know, being stimulated to cross borders and to move to other countries, I think that should also be the issue, that if we live, like, I don't know, 1 year in the country or something, if we are to lose the right to vote in our own country, so maybe we should be able to vote in the country that we live in and that we pay tax for.
Under European law, you can vote for your local government, and you can vote in the European elections, no matter where you are. But it's the vote for national government that you lose, maybe, in some circumstances. And so I begin to wonder, I was trying to find out about this a couple of years ago, and I wrote to quite a few Danish members of parliament and also some British members of parliament to find out their opinion. And some of them replied to me, well, if you're so keen on voting, why don't you just take on Danish citizenship? Why don't you become a Dane? So I'm going to put that question to you. Would you consider becoming British?
I've got nothing against being British or having a double citizenship, but I think the main purpose of opening the borders in Europe is that you can keep your citizenship and you know, live in other countries. That's a tricky question, because actually I don't, there's this line by Socrates, the philosopher, that says, I'm not from Athens or Athenians, I'm a citizen of the world. And I think where I am, it's where my home is. And so if people would tell me, you know, the only way you're able to stay in Britain is if you become British, and since I've experienced so much, I might do that. But I think that would go a little bit against what the European Union is trying to do.
I don't agree with that, actually. I mean, I don't agree with it when people tell me that I should become Danish, because I'm already half British and half French, so I don't think that I would like to have the Danish citizenship as well. And also in Denmark, you're not allowed to have dual citizenship. So if I became a Danish citizen, I would not be allowed to be either British or French. And I feel European. Does that resonate with you? Would you say you feel European, or are you more Portuguese?
No, I feel, I feel a citizen of the world. I'm proud of of the country that I was born in, but I just easily in other countries, and I know people from many different countries, and for me it's easy to adjust, and I don't feel attached to one country. I feel attached to the people and to the experience that I had in that country, and not the country in particular. Maybe I lack the feeling of nationalism, but for me what's important is, like I said, is where I feel comfortable, that's where my home is. And right now my home is in the UK. And I never think about this kind of thing about citizenship, or should I change citizenship. I'm okay. I was born in Portugal. I'm okay with my citizenship. And I don't think that should be an issue.
Yes, because if you then went to work in Germany, then under that way of thinking, you would have to become German, and where would it end? Well, I think you're in the majority, you know, because as far as the British voters are concerned, there are millions of British people who live outside of Britain, and there are about only 15,000 who have registered to vote. So it's not of great interest to most people who've left the country.
I don't think I am entitled to, because, you know, I'm not there to be able to decide exactly what's happening through my own experience. It's only by what people say, and so I don't think I have the right to choose for that set of people that really are experiencing the bad or the good times.
You can see that this is an issue which stirs up strong feelings. If you have a story to tell, or you simply want to tell us your opinion, then don't forget that you can leave comments for us on the blog at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. In the last show, Laurent was talking about New Year resolutions, and I think that this first show of 2008 should be about a grand gesture of some sort. So I'm going to tell you about a rather special film festival. The festival is called Pangaea and will happen all over the world on May the 10th. The films shown will be short videos made by, well, anybody. It could be you. The videos have to be submitted by February the 15th and should speak to the world. The organisers of Pangaea Day say you can do this by centering your film on one of about 200 so-called cultural universals, such as anger, rituals, music, play, pain, and quite a few more. So even if you're not thinking of making a great film before February the 15th, it's still interesting to see the list of cultural universals and just to wonder what sort of film you could make. There is more, of course, on the pangaeaday.org website. Well, that's it for now. The next show will be coming to you from Germany on January the 25th. And don't forget to send us a mail if you know the third instrument being played here, in addition to the violin and double bass. Stay tuned, won't you?